Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Friday, March 26, 2021. And we talked yesterday about a pretty ugly setup across equity markets after the sell-off took us back towards the key sort of pivot levels and the likes of the S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100, and of course, the very weak Asian sessions of late as well. Well, we did poke lower yesterday and looked pretty ominous there. Bounced, though, at new lows and bounced at a key retracement level. If you look at the NASDAQ 100 chart I have on slide two, that 61.8% retracement of the latest rally wave coming in just above 12,600 or 12,600, within a few points of that was where we found support. Pretty sharp bounce back intraday. And then later on, maybe one of the fears in the market, the bogeyman out there, the U.S. Treasury market, this seven-year auction was the key one this week. And it wasn't that great, but it was sufficiently orderly to keep yields from doing much besides going sideways. Although I'll tell you, you show some pretty interesting, intraday developments that we saw in the Treasury market over that auction. How much was this in focus, and how much do you think it really matters here going forward? It looks like there's no auctions on the calendar next week, so we have a bit of a pause here.
Yeah, John, I think that the biggest takeaway from yesterday auction is that we don't see that supportive foreign demand for U.S. treasuries. We have seen foreign demand in direct bidders rising from 38% prior to 57%. And this is something that you can find on the right chart on slide four. However, if you see, you will still see that indirect demand is well below the average that we have seen throughout 2020. So the question that the market is asking itself is, obviously we will have an increase of treasury auctions because of this stimulus package and also the infrastructure bill that Biden is talking about. Who is going to pick up the bill? And yesterday, during the auction, we have seen that despite there was a pickup in demand, yields spiked during exactly at the time of the auction. And this is something you can see on the right, on the chart on the right. I highlighted it in red, but the yield went from 1.60 to 1.64. So everything to me is just pointing to the fact that the treasuries are going to stay volatile and that we will see more bearish sentiment ahead of us.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see if what the market does. There, we've talked a bit about there could be quarter end rebalancing flows that are supporting the treasury market at the margin. So when we get free of that into the early days of April, it'll be interesting to see the market action there and whether we're hitting new highs for the cycle. And you had a great call recently, Alcea, on the the potential for a good support into the EU sovereign market. And we've seen that certainly recently, as a lot of those yields, something like the German 5- and 10-year yields, have kind of reset completely back to where they were, very unlike the mere sort of shallow consolidation we've seen in U.S. yields. And that is one of the drivers, of course, of the euro dollar trading at new lows below 118, showing that on slide five, where we can see that spread between the German Bund and the U.S. 10-year treasury benchmark stretching down to below 200 basis points, so negative 200 basis points. And, that's going to be coinciding, I think, with further pressure on Eurodollar. I would suspect we're getting the longer-term story, again, as you mentioned, I'll tell you, with the Treasury issuance, that the negative real yields situation for the U.S. down the road could be what helps, and expectations thereof could be what helps to turn the dollar back lower. But for now, it's tough to see where Eurodollar support is coming in when that spread continues to collapse. But over to you, Peter. We had talked a lot about the Asian session, the breakdown and the Hang Seng and the Chinese equities have been so weak of late. Anything interesting in the pattern? It looked to me like it was a pretty broad positive session yesterday, but I see you've got a couple of sectors on your chart that were actually negative yesterday.
Yeah, so I think the month to date is quite interesting because you have all the themes that we're tracking that more or less negative, as you can see, except for the broader market. But if you zoom in on what Bloomberg called the pure equity factors, we can see the value stocks up 3.5%. So that's driven by banks and car makers, just to make some examples. And momentum and growth is declining. So you're probably seeing almost a 6 percentage point spread between pure momentum and pure value for over the past month. A pretty dramatic rotation, and we've talked about that before. But and Hang Seng, we've talked about China. I mean, something is really slowing down. The sentiment is under pressure there, and there's a lot of news lately around China. You know, the tech regulation will continue, I think, to create uncertainty and potentially a high equity risk premium. I mean, you have the MSCI China index trading at just below 16 on the expected 12 months forward earnings, and if you compare that to the S&P 500, that index is at around 23. So you can already see the equity risk premium, and the potential the political discount being built into Chinese equities broadly. And you have this ongoing spat between H&M, Adidas, Nike, etc. UK and Australia also caught in this on the country level. Sweden has coordinated over this. Xinjiang province in China, you know, with claims of what's going on there, especially in the cotton production, and that's also, you know, causing a lot of stir among these retailers. So a lot of things are happening, and I want to zooming in on another European company. It's actually a bank, so Banco Santander, one of the largest banks in Europe. They are out this morning with a lot of comments over. I think they have a capital markets day. They are saying they're going to restore their dividend policy, so returning between 40 and 50% of underlying profit to shareholders. They are saying that Q1 have been extremely strong, despite of everything that's going on. And keep in mind that they have a large presence in Brazil and Mexico, South America in general, but then also UK and the Spanish market here in Europe. And they are reiterating that they can go to 10% return on tangible equity, given that this bank is, you know, is priced on a price to book ratio of 0.6, 0.6. This is not an investment recommendation, but I urge people to have a look at Banco Santander if you want banking exposure. Look at the numbers, judge for yourself. But if they can actually deliver the 10%, then the 0.6% on price to book looks like a good offer. But in the end, it's a personal decision you have to make. So go out and do your due diligence on that one.
All right. And then on the FX side of things, I think the really interesting thing we're seeing here is that even though U.S. yields kind of, you know, came in basically flat on the session and have simply sort of not headed lower, we're seeing the real yield sensitive stuff out there with this nice rebound in risk sentiment, particularly in Asia overnight. The Swiss franc and the Japanese yen trading sharply weaker, and we've got dollar yen perched right there at those highs of the cycle. I would urge folks to concentrate on what happens over 110, and then whether a 110 move, if we get above there, is sustained into the new Japanese financial year after April 1st. But we need to start talking about the Swiss franc a bit more as well. Here's a currency, obviously, with its very negative policy rate of negative 0.75%. The central bank out yesterday sort of easing off on the intervention language, and that's very, very easy for it to do when its currency is falling as rapidly as it has. Just want to note here, we have Euro-Swiss bid up again. There's some more resistance slightly higher above 111, but looks like it could be resetting higher there into the 112, 112.50 area. And then dollar-Swiss, even more interesting, and I have that on slide 6 in today's chart deck with this 93.75 area. We've poked above that. So it's even poking above the local highs before dollar yen is. And, you know, looking at where it was pre-pandemic, you could argue we could be trading up towards 97.50. I think some of that aid could be coming as much from I should say, Swiss franc weakness than, you know, isolated dollar strength. It's an interesting theme to track. And then just for more perspective on the Swiss franc, you can see on slide 7, the overview where I show the where it is relative to a broad Swiss franc measure from JP Morgan and adjusted for CPI and where that is relative to the last, let's call it 25 plus years. And, you know, we're just sort of back to mid-range and the extremes we've seen are far away. But why can't it sort of reset to a more normal 2, 3, 4% lower even in this environment when we're concerned about inflation coming forward and as well the central bank holdings of the Swiss National Bank, the gold, et cetera, are not performing well. And if we look at the FX developments, you can see the trend developments on the chart on the right. The dollar easing back and elsewhere because of the resurgence in commodity prices, So interesting to see if that move is over from these the isolated weakness we've seen in some of the commodity currencies. I think that'll be the next theme to watch in coming days, whether this dollar move has been curtailed for now. And then again, whether these sort of super low yielders are becoming their own isolated theme as sort of the flip side of the anticipation of an inflationary recovery down the road. Pretty quiet on the earnings calendar. Still only been Chinese names last couple of days, Peter. And we have Meituan out reporting today. Anything there? And I guess the earnings season is getting pretty quiet in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we will go into a quiet period now. We will, when we get into the second week of April, we will get the first batch of Q1 earnings from US banks, etc., and then we'll go from there. But today it's Meituan, as you say. The cash session is already closed in Hong Kong. This is a Hong Kong listed Chinese local e-commerce player, which has been extremely successful. Also, as you can see in the share price, is delivering astronomically high returns. But it's together with the rest of the growth / e-commerce bubble stock complex, this stock is down quite substantially, as you can see from the recent highs just a couple of months ago. They are reporting today, according to Bloomberg data. They haven't reported yet. It's a little bit odd. Typically, a U.S. company would report just after the cash close. So I'm wondering whether they, maybe have postponed. We have seen that a couple of times lately with a lot of Chinese companies not adhering to the Bloomberg calendar. But it's an interesting company, and it was pretty hard hit, as you can see in that small insert here on slide 8. They were hit during the pandemic. Local commerce really collapsed. As you can see, their revenue was down almost 50% over one quarter, and they have slowly climb back. But also, as you can see, I mean, the growth rates look impressive, right? So analysts are expecting Q4 revenue to be up 31% year-over-year. But then if you look at the insert, you can see that the Q1 estimates right now is actually suggesting a quarter-on-quarter decline in revenue. So I think that's partly what is also happening with this share price tanking, is that it seems like the near-term outlook is slowing down dramatically. And I think it's part of that overall China story that we have talked so much about. And I really, they are running a very tight financial conditions right now in China. I'm really wondering when, I think you have said this as well, John, it seems like they're not synchronized with the rest of the world right now. And it feels odd. But I still suspect that they will do more stimulus when we come into the second half. There is this implicit contract with the people, right, from the CCP, that they need to deliver economic growth and jobs.
Yes, but they also know, and this isn't across the board, but there is a big stimulus package coming through from the Biden administration that will be feeding into China in the next couple of quarters as well with this latest stimulus bill. let's go to the macro calendar. We've got a lot of interesting data points, and I neglected to mention earlier the weekly jobless claims out of the U.S. The initial jobless claims figure at 684K. That was the lowest for the cycle we've seen since exactly a year ago, when they, of course, exploded on the pandemic lockdowns. That was versus 730K expected, and more than 100,000 more, or around 100,000 more, the prior week, which was a weird sort of unsettling note, given that some of the opening up is already unfolding. We need to see this kind of sort of continued process progress and this number lower, and quite aggressively so. I would argue we need to see it below around 400,000 before starting to talk about a real normalization of the U.S. Labor market. That's quite some ways off from here, but let's track that in coming weeks. And then today we have the PCE inflation data. We all know that these inflationary gauges are going to explode higher starting around the March timeframe, but certainly into April, May, and June, because of the basing effects, but it's still worth watching the month-on-month figures. And we've had a couple of pretty elevated ones from the PCE series on the headline, 0.4 and then 0.3% last 2 months. Expected at 0.3% today, a lot of that going to be from the energy side of things. The core, though, expected to drop to 0.1% after a couple of somewhat high readings, 0.3 and 0.25 the prior 2 months. But so I think, and from here, it's not just about those year-on-year readings. We need to see the month-on-month also showing signs that there's inflationary pressures building for that narrative to have any support. And then next week, I would just point out a couple things. That Amazon unionization vote will be very interesting for that equity and the attention that would get. And then we have the US jobs report. We're expecting the consensus expectations are for a rise of some 600,000 on the payrolls in the US. Again, those kind of numbers are what you're going to need to see for months on end to see something, anything, or anything approaching a normalizing US labor market. We're going to call it a day for today. Next week, there could be a bit of a risk of being a bit understaffed and a skeleton crew, but we'll bring you at least Monday through Wednesday some podcasts next week before the nice long Easter holiday here in Denmark that we can enjoy from Thursday through the following Monday. But for now, let's see where things take us after sort of a nervous dip below key levels in the U.S. equity market and the rebound, and where we are on the other side of the weekend, where we'll bring you our next Saxo market call. For today, thanks for joining.